Amen. Let's worship the Lord here tonight. Let's reach out to the Lord. Let's make up our minds that we're going to touch God. Let's make up our minds we're going to get a hold of the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We adore you, God. We adore you, God. We adore you, God. Amen. It has certainly been an honor and a privilege to be here with you folks. So good to see every one of you here this evening. And I love what I feel here tonight. Nothing like the Church of the Living God. No better life. And I tell you something that you cannot lose living for God. It's impossible. It's impossible to lose. It doesn't matter how you write your story. You stay in God. It's impossible to lose. That sounds like a good deal to me. Praise God. Amen. So good to have my better half with me tonight. And I didn't travel by myself tonight. And that's a good thing. Praise God. So I love my wife very, very much. This last December, just a month ago here, on the 31st, we celebrated 31 years of marriage. And I don't ask for very much, but I wouldn't mind another 31 years. I'm not going to ask her, but I wouldn't mind another 31 years. And I'll see if the Lord will let us be boyfriend and girlfriends. Girlfriend up in heaven. Sorry about that. I'll have to get out of here before she does tonight. But God is good, isn't He? Let's go to the Word of the Lord here tonight. Amen. I love the Word of the Lord. There's something about God's Word. Something about God's Word. We need to feast on it every day. I've found in pastoring, there's been a few folks, and I felt this today when I walked in here and just was here for just a little bit. Someone could be very, very faithful to God in the sense that they show up, they come, and they hardly ever miss, but they're not very spiritual. I've got some folks like that in Madera, and it's cost them. It'll cost you to be carnal. If you're too lazy to pray, you're going to pay for it in ways that you can't even imagine. It pays to stay right with God. I've seen people lose. I have been in the home of an individual that lost the things that were dearest to him. I tell you, you'll lose if you don't pray and seek God. Oh, God, help us to stay close to the Lord. Help us, Lord, to stay close to you. Let's lift up our hands. I hope we could touch him again here tonight. It's up to you how close you want to get to God tonight. Hallelujah. I feel a message on my heart, but it's up to you. Hallelujah. How close you'll get to God tonight. From the book of Genesis chapter number 3 and verse number 14 and 15. Genesis chapter number 3 and verse 14. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. And upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. And it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Everybody say enmity. I don't think people really realize the nature of what the Lord was referring to. Last night I talked about the meaning of words. And was that the night before? It's all running together, all this driving. But it's not just understanding the words, understanding the nature of what God has for us. In another translation, verse 15 said, and there will be war. Everybody say war. There will be war between you and the woman. Sometimes people don't understand the nature of the conflict we're in tonight. It's a good lifeline for the Lord, but we need to understand the nature of the church and what we're in here tonight. There will be war, and there will be war between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. By him will your head be crushed, and by you his foot will be wounded. One more translation. And I will put hostility. Everybody say hostility. And I will put hostility between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. Her offspring will attack your head, and you will attack her offspring's heel. And I tell you something, the devil is not going to help you, and he hates you. You better stay on the Lord's side. Tonight I want to talk to you. Don't get hung up on the title, because I feel like there's something here tonight for this church. I want to talk about progressive revelation and the nature of prophecy. Would you lift up your hands here tonight and ask God to talk to your heart? Hallelujah. Do you have a hunger here tonight to hear the word of the Lord? Talk about progressive revelation and the nature of prophecy. Let's lift up our voices to the Lord. God, we love you. We worship you. We adore you, God. We're asking you, God, to bless us again. Visit us with your presence. I love you. I adore you, God. Give me words to speak to your great people here tonight. I pray for revival for this church. I pray for the pastor. And I pray for your people. Let's clap our hands unto the Lord God of heaven. Let's shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Hallelujah. Come on. Hallelujah. Shout unto God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You may be seated. I read to you what's considered the first messianic promise. And I thank God that God always keeps his end of the deal. Amen. He is a promise keeper. Hallelujah. You can put your trust in God. Amen. Not only are there promises in the Word of God, but if you'll live for Him, God will give you promises. God will give you promises. Amen. And so this first messianic promise, there's a lot that is said here that we could read into, but we want to draw out from the text and not read into it. We want to know what God originally said to the audience that it was conveyed to. And there is a war that's going to be taking place. And it's here and it's everywhere and it's evident. A war between the seed of the serpent and the seed of the promised Messiah. I'm glad we're children of the King here tonight. Amen. I'm glad we're the sons of Abraham here tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. We're not in this thing in isolation. We've got a history behind us. Amen. This church was not just born a few years ago or a couple hundred years ago. It was born on the day of Pentecost. Amen. We're one God apostolics born in the upper room. Hallelujah. Amen. So this first messianic promise is a beautiful promise. And the devil has a short time to work, and he's at it, my friend. He's at it. He knows his day is coming, and he's at it. And he's come down with great wrath. He hates you. Don't bargain with the devil. He's not going to bypass you. He wants to take you where he's going. And I refuse to go to hell. I want to go to heaven. I made up my mind. It's for me and my house. We're going to serve the Lord. How about you? It's for me and my house. We're going to serve the Lord. There's no need to suffer. No need to go to hell. No need to worry about that if you'll live for God. So how was this first messianic promise fulfilled? How did the great apostle Paul couch it? How did he view it in Galatians 4:4? But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. When Adam and Eve sinned and they got kicked out of the Garden of Eden. Amen. Could you imagine? They didn't have the internet. They didn't have all the worldly things that we struggle with. And they got kicked out of paradise. Amen. And the devil got kicked out of heaven. Now, you've got to try real hard to get kicked out of heaven. But I'm going to tell you, it pays to keep your spirit right. It pays to stay right, or you can get kicked out of what God has in your life. We don't believe once saved, always saved. You hear me? God doesn't have to save you. You better keep a right attitude and a right spirit. This is a conditional covenant that we entered into. When you got baptized in Jesus' name, you entered into a covenant relationship with the Lord. It's not a once saved, always saved. You've got to watch how you live. You've got to watch what you say. You've got to watch where you go. Because God is watching. And God sees all and hears all. Amen. And so in Galatians, Paul begins to tell us, amen, that in the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son. And we know as apostolics what that means, that God robed Himself in flesh to come down and take care of what Adam and Eve did in the Garden of Eden. They sold us down the river. Our parents sold us down the river. Amen. We're born in sin, shapen in iniquity. No one had to teach us how to cuss or steal or lie or to be crafty. It was in our nature. I thank God that we get to be born again because He came to provide a way, a plan. Amen. It cost Him everything. It cost Him everything to robe Himself in flesh. He suffered. He died. Amen. He felt temptation. He felt all the sorrow. He felt the chaos that he was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. I thank Him tonight that He went to Calvary. He didn't have to, but He loved humanity so much. Amen. He didn't send somebody else. He didn't say, you go. He robed Himself. He took the nails. He took the scars. He took the shame. Amen. The denominational world would like to tell you that He sent somebody else. But let me tell you, there's none else beside Him. There's only one God. And there's none beside Him. Praise God. He sent forth His Son. And the only Son that we know of is a Son that was born in Bethlehem. God put Himself in that Son. There's not an eternal Son. It's a begotten Son. There wasn't a Son already in heaven that He sent. No. Amen. Jesus Christ is sent just like John the Baptist was sent. Just like Paul was sent. We're sent of God if we're preachers. But God put Himself in that body and He suffered for us. Amen. Don't you? When you get discouraged, just think about what He did on the cross. When you get down in the dumps, you get to thinking about what He did on that hill that day. Oh, I believe He's worthy of all praise and honor. Hallelujah. He's our God. Amen. He put Himself in a body. Amen. To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Amen. When I was born the first time, I was born into a certain culture, a certain race. And you may see that. It's evident. But I don't claim that anymore. I've been born again. I'm a child of Abraham. I'm a son of God. It's not my culture anymore. I've got a new culture. I'm looking for a new place. I've got a new way of talking, a new way of walking. There's some people that get stuck in their culture and they put that up there and they prioritize that. You got to let that go. You're God's people now. I said, you're God's people now. You've got a new way of looking at things. Hallelujah. So how did the writer of Hebrews explain it? In Hebrews 2:14 and 15, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, He also Himself likewise took part of the same, that through death He might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. I'm glad that we can pray. Amen. And God knows exactly what we're going through because He bore it all on the cross. Aren't you glad for that? You can't say to God, God, you don't know what it's like to be lonely. Oh, yes, He does. God, you don't know what it's like to be rejected. Oh, yes, He does know what that feels like. As a matter of fact, one of the cardinal doctrines of those that believe that there's more than one God is the doctrine that states that they don't believe that God can feel and God could suffer. And so they term us, call us passionists because we believe that the Father suffered. But I tell you, God felt our pain when He went to the cross. Oh, we can go to Him. He's not a God that's far removed. We're not deists here tonight. He's not a God that's far off that just created everything and just backed off. He knows the number of hair that's on your head. He knows what you're going through. He knows your financial condition. He knows what you're going through and what you're struggling with. I'm glad we've got a Savior here tonight. I'm going to preach about a Savior. I'm going to brag about our Savior here tonight. He's not far removed from His creation. Amen. The Gnostics, if you've ever heard of Gnosticism, there was a Gnostic belief called Docetism. And they promoted that idea that Christ only appeared to have flesh. And He was basically a phantom. And so John, the apostle of love, he dealt with this like only the apostle of love could. And he said, every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. So he was speaking to that docetist mentality. Don't you tell us that He didn't suffer. Don't you tell us He didn't feel it. Don't you tell us it wasn't real blood and real flesh. Oh, God put Himself in a real human body. He was made like unto His brethren. Amen. Let's worship the Lord here tonight. Every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. Is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. I'm a great promoter of the idea that we use the terms as they were used in the Word of God. And John used this word in a very specific sense. He's in Hebrews 2:14-15, and because the children are flesh and blood, He took a body Himself and became like them. Oh, let's worship the Lord. I'm telling you, He can feel what you're going through right now. Amen. I can't tell you what's in your heart unless God reveals it. But God knows what you're feeling right now. He knows what you're going through. Hallelujah. Amen. I believe before this message is over, God wants us to reach out in faith here tonight to understand the nature of the things of God. Don't ever go through this life and never understand the nature of what this is all about. We have a building. This is a nice place to have church. And I pray to God, you pack it out and you have to buy property. Let's dream together. Hey, let's dream together. That's a good dream. I hope one of these days you've got the biggest church in town and there's people coming in, getting the Holy Ghost, getting healed. Let's dream together. There's nothing wrong with that. But don't ever just come and never realize the nature of this thing. God doesn't just want you to sit on a pew. He wants you to understand the spiritual nature of this church. It's a spiritual body. It's a spiritual entity. We're not like the church across town that you just shake a preacher's hand. Amen. To get in this church, it's a spiritual act. Do you understand something happens in heaven when you get into the church of the living God? I don't believe people really understand the nature of the church. When the preacher puts you down in a watery grave of baptism, you just weren't getting wet, but something was happening in spirit. Something was happening in the Holy Ghost. Something was happening in heaven where God was erasing all of your sins. Amen. People are watching you down here, but up in heaven, the angels of God are jumping up and down because somebody's name is being written up in heaven. Oh, I thank God for the church. I thank God for the church. Amen. In 1 John 3:8, it said, he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. I don't believe that some people understand the nature of sin and the gravity of sin and how quickly people can fall prey to demons and to the spirit of this world. Don't play with sin. Understand the nature of it. Understand that there's going to be some of you, because of your devotion to God, that the devil's not going to just try to get you to go drugging and drinking. It's going to be something that you don't perceive as being that bad. He's got to draw you to do something just a little wrong so that he can take you a little further and a little further. But if you'll pray, God, give me a revelation of the nature of sin and how destructive it is. I'll tell you, it's ugly. It's terrible. Amen. You go look at those that have given themselves over to drugs and they'll probably never be what they could have been because they wasted their life on drugs. But thank God you can come and get healed in an apostolic church. We've got people in our church that gave themselves to drugs, but God brought them back to the church. Amen. We had one young man, he got out there and he got into the drug world and he got into the gangs and he was one of the toughest guys in the town. And boy, it's a miracle he's still alive. If you ever hear his testimony, it's really bad. I mean, he took his family down to the gutter. I mean, down to the dumps. And it's a miracle he's back in the church and he's brought people back with him, and I thank God for the mercy of the Lord. But I tell you, a year after he was back in the church, it said, "Pastor, please pray for me. All them drugs messed me up, and I've got a lot of pain in my body." And you know what? Thank God he's still coming to church. There's sometimes, because people don't understand the nature of sin, they suffer for years. Because if you don't get the revelation through the Spirit, you'll get the revelation some other way. Let's worship the Lord. God wants you to get the revelation in the church, not out in the world, not out. You know what? I thank God for those that pray back through. But stay in the church. Stay in the church. Don't lose your testimony. Stay pure. Stay right with God. Amen. Another translation, the sinner is a child of the evil one. For the evil one has been a sinner from the first, and the Son of God was seen on earth so that he might put an end to the works of the evil one. I've got a relative that drinks so much that one night, amen, he was out of town with my mother and some other family members, and as he's laying there asleep, it was the dead of night, my mother heard him speaking in another language, and it wasn't tongues, and it wasn't God, and it was something really ugly coming out of him and talking. I tell you, people don't understand the nature of sin. Say, "Preacher, I'm just drinking a beer. I'm just taking a little bit of drugs. I'm just a little listening to a little bit of worldly music." You don't understand. All of that's got a spirit behind it. All of that has got something, amen, to entrap your soul. In Genesis 2:22-7, it said, "And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together." You see, a lot of people don't understand how God fulfills things. They pigeonhole God. They say it's got to happen a certain way. I'll tell you what, we just got to watch and see, because God is greater than our thinking. So how was this fulfilled? If you look at Genesis 22:8, and Abraham said, God, there's another translation, God, Abraham said, God himself will give the lamb for the burnt offering. We're talking about progressive revelation. We sang about the name earlier. If you look at the Word of God, God progressively revealed His name and His attributes. You stick around and God will reveal Himself to you in ways that nobody else, Amen. That they'll look at you and say, man, why do you worship like that? Why do you go to church like, why do you go to church like that? Oh, you just come to our church and God will reveal some things to you. I believe in a progressive revelation. And if you'll stay in the church, God will show you some beautiful things. God will show you some beautiful things. In Genesis 22:13, it said, and Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. So his son asked him, We have the wood and we have the fire, but where is the sacrifice? And Abraham, speaking prophetically and in faith, said, God will provide himself a lamb. And I want to just tell you that that was fulfilled right then, literally, where that ram was caught in the thicket. I don't believe that was an accident. I don't believe that ram was just got stuck there accidentally, but in the providence of God. Amen. And that man of God speaking by faith, boy, it just something began to happen in the spirit world. I want to challenge us tonight. Something good can happen here tonight if you'll put out the effort to begin to pray as the preacher's preaching and say, God, I want to understand the nature of revival. Come on, I want to understand the nature of the church. I want to understand the nature of prophecy. I want to understand the nature of the things of God. Isn't it amazing so many people could come and sit service after service and they never understand what God is saying to the church? Everybody say, praise the Lord. And so in Genesis 22:13, another translation, and lifting up his eyes, Abraham saw a sheep fixed by his horns. I tell you who put them there. God put them there. When God has a man give a prophecy, and that was an unction of God, just hold on. You're not going to have to wait very long. I believe in the promises of God. Hallelujah. I said, I believe in the promises of God. Oh, yeah. Hallelujah. Stay in the church. There's beautiful promises for God's people. So number one, this the nature of prophecy, this fulfillment was fulfilled, first of all. Literally. But I want to tell you here that secondly, it was fulfilled spiritually. Because years later, God did provide himself a lamb. God did put himself in a body. It was a Jewish body and he did provide himself a lamb. So I want to bring a thought to you. I want to ask you, I want to just promote this idea in your thinking here that this prophecy that was fulfilled spiritually, when you compare that to how it was fulfilled literally the first time, how would you explain the difference between those fulfillments? Is it just one was fulfilled literally and one was fulfilled spiritually? Or is it more than that? I want to suggest to you that it's much more than that. It's not just a matter of interpretation, but it speaks of the degree of the power and the magnitude of God. That the degree of difference between the nature of these fulfillments is not just significantly greater, but exponentially greater. The nature of the fulfillment is astounding. Let's worship the Lord. Do you have the Holy Ghost here tonight? Try to explain to somebody that's never had the Holy Ghost the nature of what the beautiful gift you've got in your heart. Come on, hallelujah. Think about it. Try to explain to somebody. Amen. How many remember the day you received the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Is there anybody here that got it on a Sunday morning? Anybody here that got it on a Sunday night? Anybody here got it on a Wednesday night? And you know what happened after that? The devil came to you and said, you didn't get the Holy Ghost. You didn't get the Holy Ghost. You didn't talk in tongues. But you know what? Get thee behind me, devil. Because when I got the Holy Ghost, I talked in tongues just like the Bible said. You got to defend yourself. You got to fight back. You've got to protect yourself from the spirit of the devil that want to come and minimize the prophecy that was fulfilled in your heart. to want to subtract from what you've got in the altar, what you experience. It's the devil's job to try to make you feel like it was all in your head, all in your mind. I'm here to tell you, you need to talk in tongues every day. Hallelujah. You need to make sure and say no. When that prophecy went forth about people getting the Holy Ghost, it's exponentially greater than what we could even imagine. Amen. It's not just one or two people getting the Holy Ghost. Amen. It's many, 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 many people getting the Holy Ghost. This church is bigger and greater than what we can imagine. You hear me? The devil wants you to think, well, it's just a few of us and we're struggling. Absolutely. I rebuke that thought. We're the church of the living God. There's angels here tonight. The Lord is here tonight. I said the Lord is here tonight. It's not just a ram caught in a bush, but the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world is with us tonight. The fulfillment of prophecy is exponentially greater. Explain to a blind man what purple is. Come on, I challenge you. Where do you start? Well, it's kind of like blue. Okay, they don't know what blue is. It's kind of like blue and red mixed. They don't know what you're talking about. Thank God that our eyes could see. Thank God that our ears could hear. Oh, this we got to reach out to the sinner. They can't see the colors we see. They can't hear the sounds we hear. They can't feel the Holy Ghost. But don't you belittle the Holy Ghost. This is a great thing. Don't you limit the Holy Ghost. There's no greater gift on this earth than the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I feel a shouting spirit here tonight. Come on, when was the last time you shouted? Amen. When you get the Holy Ghost, you're not just going to move your fingers around. Amen. It's going to come down on the inside of you. You're going to feel that jumping and shouting and yelling. Oh, you're going to feel like you can take the world on. Oh, let's love the Lord. Would you lift up your voice here? You got the Holy Ghost. Are you letting the Holy Ghost die inside of you? Are you letting the Holy Ghost die inside of you? Hallelujah. So to the degree that God fulfills His prophecy spiritually is exponentially greater than we can even imagine. The degree. When you compare how it's fulfilled literally to the degree that it's fulfilled spiritually, how wide is that gap? In the Bible said in 1 Corinthians 2:9, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. Oh, I want to see heaven. You can read about it. You can tell me about it. But oh, you just wait till we see it. It's going to be beyond what we can imagine. It's going to be beyond. Oh, I want to see Him. It's going to be beyond what we can think. There ain't nothing like the church. Oh, I guess I'll just come up there and get prayed for. Oh, you don't understand. I tell you, God, the healer's here tonight. The healer's in the house. He said, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst thereof. Do you understand that exponentially? Amen. How great that is. Oh, he's just here just a little bit. No, the Lord is here tonight. I believe the Lord's talking to this church here tonight. To walk a little higher. Oh, walk a little closer to God. To walk just a little bit more carefully before the Lord. Hands lifted up to God. I don't think I'm going to preach long, but I've got a lot to say here tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. To the naturalists, the Darwinists. Can you just let me talk to you here for a little bit? To the naturalists, the Darwinists, the unbeliever, the fool. These things seem far-fetched, the things we talk about. Try explaining to some how the Lord is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. I don't understand that. But we know that.
Yes, sir.
And then try to explain to them that the Lion of the tribe of Judah is also the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. How do you explain that? You got to have revelation. You gotta have God in your life. I tell you, the longer I live for God, the more I realize how much I don't know and how great He is. Oh, how great He is. Amen. Try to tell people that He's the high priest, but He's also the sacrifice that the high priest has taken in. To have sacrifice. Isn't that something? You know, there's a lot of folks that say, you know, when he's getting baptized, there's a voice that comes from heaven, so there's got to be someone else. Oh, you mean God can't be in more than one place at the same time? I tell you, he's exponentially greater than our limited, feeble minds could ever think of. You examine the Greeks and the Romans and their gods, they could not fathom that the God of the sea is the same God that controls the sun and the moon. They had to have a different God for everything. But my God can do it all. He's our healer. He's our savior. He's our protector. You don't need more than one. He's just one. One, 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 one God. Come on, one God. Hallelujah. And he's exponentially greater than we could ever imagine. I want you to do this right now. Whatever the Lord lays on your heart to pray for, that's in faith. I want you to lift up your hands right now and pray in the Holy Ghost right now. Come on, pray a prayer of faith right now. Have you ever prayed a prayer of faith? But Brother Garza, I don't have much faith right now. Come on, work on your faith right now. Exercise your faith right now. Hallelujah. It may be somebody you're working with. It may be a family member that's lost. It may be a healing you need, but I want you to call on the Lord right now. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Oh, it feels good here tonight. It feels good in the house of the Lord. The degree of difference between the symbols used to describe the role of God is not just great, but it's exponentially greater than what we could imagine. The Lion of the tribe of Judah. The Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Another translation, for just as the sky is higher than the earth, so my deeds are superior to your deeds, and my plans superior to your plans. In John 1:29, it said, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This whole city lieth in wickedness. There's all sorts of people who don't even believe that they're lost. We've got to pray. You've got to understand the nature of sin. Sin doesn't quit easily just because you witnessed to somebody. No, that's when the fight starts. We got to start it right here in this prayer room and say, God, I'm going to be witnessing to people. And they've got sin in their heart. And God, I want you to deal with them. And I want you to talk to them. And I want you to convict their heart. You understand the nature of this thing? It's a spiritual entity. Amen. This is not an ordinary church. This is the church of the living God. Or this is not a denominational church. This is the church of the living God. He gave His blood for this church. He wants us to pray. He wants us to be right smack in the middle of the church. not on the periphery, not on the outskirts looking in, but in the middle of this whole thing. Oh, I feel good tonight about what I'm preaching to this church tonight. Woo! I feel good about what the Holy Ghost is saying to the church. Hallelujah. I want you to start seeing in your mind's eye people walking into the church, getting the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter how many people say no to you. In the spirit, something is happening when you obey God. When you obey God, that person you invited may never come, but God's going to work on somebody else. God's going to deal with somebody else. You know why? Because the church understands the nature. The church is beginning to understand the nature. Oh, we're walking with God. We're walking with God. We're walking with God. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Amen. And John said, "This is he of whom I said, after me cometh the man which is preferred before me, for he was before me." He's not an ordinary man. He is God manifest in the flesh. 2 Samuel 22:3, "The God of my rock, in him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower and my refuge, my Savior. Thou savest me from violence." Ah, he's our Savior. And he's got to stay your Savior. Amen. He's able to keep you to the uttermost. I don't care what happens. He's able to save you to the uttermost. He's not a little Savior. He's the Savior of the whole world. We don't sin intentionally, but the devil will come to you and say, "You might as well quit. You might as well give up. Yeah, you just have sinned one too many times." I tell you, the blood of Jesus can save the whole world. The blood of Jesus can save the whole world. You need to get to the altar as quickly as possible and say, "God, I believe in your blood. I believe that's why you came. I'm not going to give power to the devil. I'm not going to give power to the enemy. I'm going to confess the power of God unto salvation." Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Isaiah 43:11. I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. Nobody else can save you. He's our only Savior. Nobody else can help you. Only Him. This church, the nature of this church, if we don't have God, we might as well shut it down. It is a spiritual entity. It is a spiritual thing. Oh, I'm glad for the Holy Ghost. I'd hate to preach without the Holy Ghost. I'd hate to preach without unction. I tell you, if you want to try to do it by yourself, you're going to make a shipwreck out of your life. You're going to fall on your face. It doesn't matter how good you think you are, you're going to fall on your face. Brother, come on up here. Come on up here, brother, and lift your hands. I'm going to preach, but you just pray right there. Hallelujah. That's right. Commit your life. God wants to use some of you. Forget your past. Put it under the blood. Come on, put it under the blood. Oh, I feel like shouting here tonight. Put it under the blood. Come on, put it under the blood and keep it there. Don't drag it out. Don't drag it out. Leave it under the blood. Why don't you say, "God, I believe you've forgiven me. God, I may have done some things that were wrong and that you're not pleased with, but God, I thank you for a brand new start. I thank you for a brand new start, a brand new beginning." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I tell you what, the church struggles with condemnation. You need to believe in the blood of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You brothers, pray for him for just a little bit here tonight as I'm preaching the word. We're preaching here tonight. This is a spiritual entity. We do spiritual things in the church. You may be seated as they're praying. You may be seated. Or you're welcome to stand. This is a spiritual entity. Yes, we have order, but we also follow the Spirit. We also follow the Holy Ghost. Isaiah 45:21. Tell ye and bring them near. Yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? Is there there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior? There is none else. Folks, He's the only one you can go to. He is your answer tonight. He is your remedy. He is your answer. You hear me? Don't go to anyone else. No one else can save you. Hosea 13:4, yet I am the Lord thy God from the land of Egypt. Thou shalt know no God but me, for there is no Savior beside me. He's our Savior tonight. We sing about it. Oh, we shout about it. We clap our hands about it. He's our Savior. He shed His blood for you. What do you mean you can't get up and pray? What do you mean you can't serve? What do you mean living for God's too hard? Do you know what He did on Calvary? Do you know what He did on Calvary? What do you mean it's too hard living for God? What do you mean what He did? He did for you and I. I tell you, as hard as those nails being driven into His hands. The thorns, the crown of thorns in His head. That's hard, my friend. Because He was just and holy. And He did it for the sin of the world. Hallelujah. You may be seated. All of you may be seated. You don't mind if I preach a little while here tonight, do you? John 1:35, and the next day, again, the next day, after John stood and two of his disciples were looking upon Jesus as He walked, He said, behold the Lamb of God, and the two disciples heard Him speak, and they followed Jesus. We need to follow Jesus, my friend. Even in the church, we need to follow Jesus. Not time to balance the checkbook while the preacher's preaching. Not time to think about what we're going to be doing tomorrow. It's time to preach with the preacher. It's a spiritual thing that's happening right now. There's things going on in the Holy Ghost. Hey, amen. There's devils that are mad, but we don't care. We're going to preach anyhow. We're going to worship anyhow. That devil can get mad. He can fight. But we've got the Holy Ghost in fire. Hallelujah. Itaha, 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 itaba, shata, ra, 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 ra. Hallelujah. What about the thinking and the worldview of Israel as a nation before the coming of the Lord? The first time, obviously. What was their worldview? What was their thinking? I tell you what their thinking was. Their thinking was they wanted a conquering Messiah. Because that's prophesied. It's prophesied. When Abraham prophesied God will provide Himself a lamb, there it is right there. It's right there in the thicket. There ain't nothing else. Oh, yes, there is. Much more than a ram caught in the thicket. Praise God. They wanted a conquering Messiah. And we do have a conquering Messiah. But they completely misunderstood the nature of His coming. The majority view was the incorrect view. It's the masses that they follow, or they only get what's on the surface. But if you're going to understand God, you better get your knees on that carpet and not be afraid to shed tears. You young men, you'll get far with God shedding tears before the Lord. Let's worship the Lord here right now. Oh, they desired the glory of what they used to have. But God's ways are better. God's ways are higher. God's ways are better. See, they wanted what they used to have. They wanted the glory of old. Amen. But then the writer of the Hebrews said, let me tell you about something better. Let me tell you about something better. They used to have the tabernacle. They used to have they have a rich history of prophets. They have a rich history of patriarchs. They have a rich history. But you go to the book of Hebrews and he said, let me tell you about a better covenant. Let me tell you about a better promise. Let me tell you about a better way. They had the law that was written on stone. But hallelujah, I'm glad it's written in our hearts tonight. Come on, is it in your heart to live for God? Is it in your heart to worship? Hallelujah. This progressive revelation. Let me show you my name. It's Elohim. It's Jehovah. It's Jah. A progressive revelation. And people that stood with God and continued to search and to follow begin to gain more knowledge. You stay in the church and you'll gain more knowledge. More insight. More faith. Come on, how many want a star in your crown? We need some soul winners in the house. I'm preaching faith here tonight. We need some soul winners in the house. Come on, how's it going to happen? You got to get after it. God, I'm believing that you're going to give me a soul. I'm going to witness, God. I'm going to testify. Progressive revelation. God revealed some things by degrees of knowledge, but always in the direction of the natural to the spiritual. Oh, I'm not putting Israel down, but the majority, all they saw, all they wanted was what they can see with the eye. God wants us to see with something greater than this. Come on, let's worship the Lord. He wants us to see with this spiritual vision. Oh, those people couldn't imagine how exponentially greater not a conquering Messiah would be, but a suffering Messiah. A suffering Messiah. Would you give the Lord praise here tonight? Oh, the Jews had it wrong. They believed Messiah was coming, but they greatly underestimated the nature of the fulfillment. In Joshua 21:45, the Bible said there failed not aught of any good thing which the Lord had spoken unto the house of Israel. All came to pass. There's not one thing that God did not fulfill. Everything came to pass. God keeps His end of the bargain. He is a covenant keeper. Let's not be covenant breakers. Let's be covenant keepers. Amen. In Matthew 17:10, and His disciples asked Him, saying, why say, then say the scribes that Elias must first come? And Jesus answered and said unto him, Elias truly shall first come. And restore all things. But I say unto you that Elias is come already, and they knew him not. See, because when all you're looking at is what the natural mind can see, and you're not thinking of how awesome and how great His program is, He's saying, Elias is already come. He's talking about John the Baptist. Let's worship the Lord. How many want to see greater things? You better pray. You better love God. It's exponentially greater. It's beautiful to serve the Lord. Serve Him with gladness. Serve Him with the fear of God. Let's clap our hands to the Lord here tonight. Whoa! In Acts 1 and 6, when they therefore were come together, they asked Him, saying, Lord, wilt Thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? All that they can think about. This is what the majority believes. This is what everybody's saying. But let me just tell you, I'm glad we don't walk with the majority. We don't need them. They need us. We don't need their music. They need our music. We don't need their techniques and their preaching styles. They need to learn of us. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm glad for the church tonight. He said, And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times and the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. And then in Acts 1:6, another translation. So when they were together, they said unto him, Lord, will you at this time give back the kingdom to Israel? See, all they knew was what they knew. I'm going to tell you, we got to have spiritual insight. God, I believe you have something greater for me than I can even envision. Reach out in faith. God, you have something better for me than I can even think of. Live for God. And God's got beautiful things for you. Hallelujah. Is there anyone here that needs healing? Lift up your hands right now. God can do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think. More than you can even imagine. More than you could even imagine. Hallelujah. Exponentially greater. Hallelujah. Therefore I send you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation, bringing forth the fruits thereof. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said to him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And he answered, said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. All the Pharisees could see was what they had. And they couldn't see any future without all of their rules and regulations. But Jesus was trying to bring in a new way, and he did successfully do that. If we silence them, the stones will immediately cry out. Hey, we're lively stones here tonight. We're not meant to be silent. We're not meant to sit there like a bump in a log. The Holy Ghost, amen, is not meant to just, amen, it's not meant to sit. It's meant to work and to worship and to honor God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're lively stone. I said we're lively stone. Hallelujah. I tell you, the Pharisees couldn't understand that. They wanted their kingdom. They wanted their old ways. This is what we know. It is our culture. This is our heritage. This is what we have. But God's got a greater way. God's got a better way. Hallelujah. Oh, revival, revival, revival. Come on, how great is that revival that God wants? Is it one soul, two souls? Come on, how great is that revival? Hallelujah. And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it. It was over. It's over. But you see, sometimes people, they want what they want. And they'll get stubborn with God. I'm just going to do it this way. No. Do it God's way. His way is a better way. Every hand lifted up to God. I'm just about done. The nature. Oh, progressive revelation in the nature of the fulfillment of prophecy. Hallelujah. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd and I know my sheep and I am known of mine. Pray with somebody next to you right now. Say, God, help them to see with spiritual eyes. Not just the ram caught in the thicket, but God, the Lamb of God that was to come. I think we need to go around and pray here as I'm preaching the word of the Lord. Jesus said, another sheep I have which are not of this fold. They couldn't understand that. They couldn't see it. They couldn't fathom. They couldn't wrap their mind around it. There's other sheep which are not of this fold. Them I also must bring and they shall hear my voice and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. The Jews couldn't understand that. They were stuck in their tradition, stuck in the rut of their culture, stuck in the rut of their carnality. But he says, I've got other sheep. Come on, wrap your mind around the church. Wrap your mind around the promises of God. And don't limit God. Don't limit God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Shatarabaha yarararabo sonororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororororor Hallelujah. God, have your way tonight, Jesus. God, have your way tonight. God, have your way tonight. Hallelujah. I want you to bow your heads. Stay where you're at. Bow your heads and listen to this set of verses here. Listen to this set of verses in Luke 2:25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. While the entire nation believed a lie, the majority view wanted a natural, literal fulfillment. But there was somebody that was being used of God in the temple. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit in the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. We need some people here that can see with spiritual eyes. While the world is saying, no, you can't have the things of God. There's a church that said, oh, if I can only show you what I can see and hear. If I can only make you feel what I have felt. Oh, yeah, and there was a prophetess there, the same way Anna the prophetess. Oh, she was a great age. Hallelujah. But she didn't believe the majority view. She wasn't swayed by the carnal. She wasn't swayed by the traditional minded. She had eyes to see beyond. She understood the nature of prophecy. Lift up your hands right now. I believe some people need prayer here right now. Pray with that person next to you right now. Oh, read about John the Baptist's birth. Read about how John the Baptist's father became his tongue. Amen. He couldn't speak anymore because he doubted God. He doubted the spiritual aspects of the nature of prophecy. It was after it was fulfilled that he began to speak again. Oh, we need to understand the nature of the church, the nature of prophecy. It's a beautiful thing. It's a spiritual thing. You're not going to survive in the church if you're not spiritual. You could be good, but if you're not spiritual, you're going to make a mess out of your life. It'll cost you to not pray. It'll cost you to not be able to see with the eyes that God wants you to see with. Let's come to the front as we seek the Lord here tonight. If you need healing and prayer, we'll pray for you tonight. Let's pray. I want to understand the nature of prophecy, God. There's so much to see, God. There's so many voices out there, God. It could be so confusing. God, help me to know you. God, help me to know you. Help me to see you for who you are, God. I thank you for revelation, God. I don't ever want to lose it. God, how did you receive your revelation, church? You humbled yourself and prayed. How did you receive the revelation of oneness of God? You sought the Lord. There's more revelation, my friend. We live in a wicked world. We can't afford to be confused and not know what we're dealing with out there. I love you, God. I love you, God. I pray for your people tonight, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Is all you see a ram caught in the thicket tonight? Is that all you see is a ram caught in the thicket? There's more, my friend. I want you to spend some time and pray with somebody else around you and say, God, I want to be in the Holy Ghost tonight. I want to be in the Spirit tonight. Let's pray in faith here right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Shata hayita bahaya ra 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 bahaya. Hallelujah. Claim your promises tonight. See them with a heart of faith. Live for God. Oh, live to see the fulfillment of the promises of God. You're going to have to pray. You may you have to let tears come down your face sometimes. It's so easy to let culture and tradition and opinion sway our thinking. God, help us to see the nature of it. Help us, God, to not underestimate the nature of it, God. Brother Connell, if you believe this is in order, if not, you do what you feel. But I'd love for you and your wife to stand right here before the pulpit, and even have your son and daughter come. As I was talking to God about this message here tonight, and I wish I would have done a better job here in conveying what the Lord wanted, but I feel like a spirit of the enemy attacked me because of what I was going to preach here tonight. But you know what? God helped me. And we're here tonight. And we're having church. And you know what? We're not. God, help us to not be cowards. We don't want to be afraid of the devil. Church, why don't you pray for your pastor and his wife and this good family? Yeah, the devil's going to come against them. But greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. Oh yeah, you're gonna have spiritual attack because you do the will of God, but you know what? God is our helper. God is our helper. Greater than we realize. Exponentially greater. Hallelujah. The help from the Lord is exponentially greater than what we can imagine. We don't have to suffer. We don't have to go through life with our head down and doubt and fear and confusion. God wants to fulfill prophecy and promises in our hearts. Come on, make up your mind, church. You're going to pray for your preacher. You're going to pray, God, protect my preacher. He's preaching the word of God. He's preaching. He's reaching the lost. He's doing the will of God. God, protect my preacher. Protect my pastor's wife. Protect his children. Oh, the devil hates what they're doing, but God, I pray, protect them. Protect them. Protect them. Come on, men, I can't hear you tonight. A little louder here tonight. Come on. The nature of the church is spiritual. We're not Baptists. We're not Episcopalian. We're apostolic. We're tongue talkers. We are filled with the Holy Ghost. Come on, talk in tongues right now and be used of the Spirit to pray for this good family, this man of God. Hallelujah, that he's placed over this city. Come on, understand the nature of this thing. Hallelujah, understand the nature of it. It's not programs. We're not a denomination. This is the church of the living God. We got a better covenant, a better way. Hallelujah. The Jews of old didn't understand. Amen. But we have it here tonight. Thank God for the Jews that got baptized in Jesus' name. Thank God for the apostles. Thank God for the remnant. Thank God for those that seen it. Hallelujah. It's not just a ram caught in the thicket. He's got beautiful things for you. Oh, on eyes of faith. Oh, God, I rebuke all doubt from this place tonight. Rebuke the devil, the spirits that come against this church. I pray for revival in the name of the Lord. Come on, let's say it together. Revival in the name of Jesus Christ. Let's worship the Lord. Let's worship the Lord. Da, 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 da. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord.